Telling you, that was a great reminder of who Jesus is, what He's done, and how much we have to be excited for as His followers. Lord, let's pray, let's pray, let's pray. Lord God, we just say thank You. God, I am so excited for who You are and what You've done, but God, I'm also broken over the fact that, Lord, I am so unworthy. God, it's such a reminder of Your great grace. A great reminder of how You pursue us with that grace and that love. That God, while we were yet sinners, You sent Your Son to die for us. That You didn't wait for us to love You first, God. You demonstrated Your love by dying on the cross. You demonstrated Your power and Your faithfulness by raising Yourself from the dead, God, and then offering that great grace, that great power, that great hope to us, Lord, if we will just believe, if we'll just surrender our hearts and our lives to You. God, I pray that this moment, this moving of Your Spirit in my heart, in our hearts, God, would not end. God, it would continue on, Lord, as we look into Your Word. God, as we see Your heart, as we see Your gospel demonstrated in Jesus. Lord, may we fall more in love with You today, get more excited, more passionate about You today. Lord, may we live radically different, God, because we have met the resurrected King. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. This is time we release our children and volunteers to Children's Church, so I want to invite you to head in that direction. Those of us that are left, if you'll take your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Today we're going to look at an event that happened the day of the resurrection, an event which demonstrates this gospel that we've been singing about, this great grace and the power of God and the passion of God for His people and for those He came to save. Today I want us to look at an event that took place that shows the gospel in action, that shows the heart of God in action, and to be an encouragement to us and to see that God so loved you and me that He is still pursuing you and me today. He's still pursuing your family today. He's still pursuing the wayward today. He doesn't give up on us. And I'm so thankful for this great grace. This is an event that I've read many times. I've preached on it many times. We actually looked at it a couple of Wednesday nights ago, maybe even last Wednesday night, I'm not sure. I'm teaching so many different things. My mind kind of blurs as to when I taught what. But this is an event that you know about. But I'm going to tell you, I've never looked at it in the light that I'm looking at it today and that I look at it even now, ever before. It is a beautiful, beautiful example of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of Jesus. It's the event, what we call and the Scripture calls the road to Emmaus. Many of us have read this and we've looked at it and we see the disappointment of the disciples and we see the love of Christ. But I want you to see today and I want you to understand today that this is the gospel being lived out. And it is truth for us today how God pursues us even today for a deeper, a closer, a more powerful walk, a better understanding of the resurrection of Jesus Christ so that we can live radically different and we can accomplish what He saved us to accomplish, not just to get to go to heaven, but to demonstrate the power that raised Him from the dead is at work in our lives to radically transform us, that it's available for all who will believe, and we need to be ambassadors of that gospel. We need to be poster children for the power of God, but He is also patient. He is also pursuing. He is always trying to draw us back when we are wayward. He never gives up. There's such a beautiful picture of the heart of God in this conversation, in this event that took place the very day of the resurrection. And as we look at it, I want your heart to be encouraged, but more importantly, I pray that it would be the voice of God calling you back, calling you into a deeper walk, calling you into a fuller understanding of the gospel and the resurrection and what God wants for you and how He's pursuing you even today. If you will stand with me, we're going to read beginning in verse 13 of chapter 24, the Gospel of Luke. Remember, this is the very same day that the resurrection took place. It's the right after the women have come back from the tomb and told the disciples that Jesus is not there, that they had met the angels and He is raised from the dead. They've heard the good news, but yet they do not believe. In verse 11 it says, "But these words appeared to them as nonsense, and they would not believe them." They were struggling to believe this truth of the resurrection. Verse 13 says, "And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking to each other about all the things which had taken place. And while they were talking and discussing, Jesus Himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing Him. And He said to them, 'What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking?'" In other words, what you talking about? "And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to Him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened there these days?' He said to them, 'What things?' And they said to Him, 'The things about Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered Him to the sentence of death and crucified Him. But we were hoping. We were hoping that it was He who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since these things happened. But also some women among us amazed us. When they went to the tomb early in the morning and did not find His body, they came saying that they had also seen visions of angels who said to them that He was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the women had said, but they did not see Him. And He said to them, 'O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into His glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all the Scripture. And they approached the village where they were going, and He acted as if He were going further. And they urged Him, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's getting towards the evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So He went and stayed with them. When He was reclining at the table with them, He took the bread, and He blessed it, and He broke it. And He began to give it to them, and their eyes were opened. They recognized Him, and He vanished from their sight. They said to one another, 'Were not our hearts burning within us when He spoke with us on the road, while He was explaining the Scripture to us?' And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with Him, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' They began to relate their experience on the road and how He was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. And while they were telling these things, He Himself stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you. You may be seated.'" This event, we want to look at it in context, and to understand all that we need to get from it, we need to look at when this took place and what led up to it. Remember, Jesus has been crucified. Jesus has been believed by many that He was the Messiah. He was told them time and time again, "I'm going to have to be given over to sinners. I'm going to have to be killed. I'm going to raise on the third day. And you just hang tight and believe that I'm the Messiah. Don't let the events of the day, don't let the events that you're fixing to witness, don't let the events of your life shake your faith in Me." But Jesus knew they're just human. Their faith was going to be rocked. Their their life was going to be in crisis because they had put all of their hope that Jesus was the Messiah, but yet he was not the type of Messiah they were looking for. He knew they were going to be disappointed that day. But then he raised on the third day. The women went and saw it. They came back to tell the disciples, but it sounded as foolishness, it says, that they could not believe. Their history with Jesus, their disappointment, their hurt, their brokenness overshadowed their faith and the truth that Jesus was alive. Their life experience overwhelmed their faith. We see these two disciples. They were not part of the 12, it doesn't seem to be. We don't really know anything about them. We just know these were two guys. We know the name of one, his name was Cleopas. This is the only time Cleopas is mentioned in Scripture. We know nothing else about him other than his name. His name is Cleopas. The other one is completely unnamed. And they were traveling, it says. They decided to leave. And they decided to go to Emmaus, about 7 miles away. And we really don't know anything about Emmaus. We just know it was a village 7 miles from Jerusalem. We don't know what direction. Historians and theologians don't really have any idea about what this village is, where it was, anything about it. It was just a dot on the map. It was just a place. And these guys were leaving disappointment, going to a no-name town. Two no-named guys going to nowhere Judea. But yet something amazing happened. See, I want you to hear today that it wasn't just the disciples, the 12 apostles that Jesus pursued. These no-name men, these disciples who had put their faith in Him, that trusted Him as the Messiah, whose heart was broken, whose hopes were dashed, their dreams of the future were now dismantled, and they were in complete hopelessness, complete brokenness, frustrated. They had to be just absolutely distraught. Because everything that they had placed their hopes and future in, this one man who claimed, who proved by all the mighty deeds, all the miracles, all the things that he taught, everything about him pointed to the fact he's the Messiah, but yet he died on the cross. He was a Messiah, but not the Messiah they thought he was going to be. He was the Son of God, but he acted differently than they thought God would act. So they lost hope. They'd given up. They were walking away. You know, that's the picture of many of our lives. Oftentimes, many people will believe Jesus is the Messiah. They will have this experience with the Holy Spirit, and God reveals to them the truth of Jesus, and they place their faith and their hope in Jesus, and they walk with Jesus for a while, but then something happens in life. Maybe it's a hurt. Maybe the church has hurt them. Maybe they've experienced a letdown by a spiritual leader or a brother and sister. Maybe they've experienced some hatred towards them or some injustice towards them. Maybe their life has not been what they thought it would be. And maybe that the church or their parents didn't do what they thought they should do. But some way, somehow, God didn't act like they thought God should act, and therefore they just walk away in brokenness and hopelessness. Maybe it's that they had plans. These are my plans, and God, I want you to bless these plans. God, I want you to do this, and God, I want to follow you in this. I want to do this, but it becomes hard. It becomes difficult. It doesn't work out like they thought it was going to work out. And in brokenness and frustration, they just walk away. I did that. I walked away for a while. Maybe that's your experience. You've had a time of walking away. Maybe you had a time where you believed in Jesus and your whole heart was in it. You knew it to be the truth. God had revealed it to you, but some things happen. Maybe it's people that you've talked to. Maybe it's hurts that you've experienced. Maybe it's broken dreams. Maybe things didn't work out like you thought it should be. Maybe it was the church that's full of sinful people that are trying to be right with God and struggling to honor God, but still sinners. Maybe they hurt you. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was a spouse. I don't know, but somehow God disappointed you. Even though you're here, you're still walking away. Say, well, I'm just nobody headed to nowhere. I don't know what life's got for me. I'm just kind of floundering. I'm just looking for something. I thought I could rely on God, and He just didn't do things like I thought He would, and He didn't work things out like I wanted Him to work them out. And maybe His church is just not what I thought it should be. And I'm struggling. I want you to see today that Jesus is still pursuing you. These men walked away in brokenness and hopelessness. These men walked away in disappointment. These men walked away with shattered dreams and no real hope for a future. What are we going to do now? Headed to this little village that means nothing. It's just away from where Jesus was crucified. It's away from where their hurt was. It was away from where their disappointment was. Away from where their brokenness was. And they're just leaving. They're just walking away. Not really knowing where to go, what to do, but just doing life. And knowing I've got to get away from the disappointment. Jesus shows up. Two no-name men, unknowns, no real importance other than the fact that they were loved by the Savior. They trusted Him. But in that crisis of faith, even with the news, He's alive. They just couldn't believe. They couldn't risk being hurt again. They couldn't risk being disappointed again. They couldn't risk being broken again and let down again by God, by the church, by the people that they trusted. The other disciples who fled and had given up too, they just couldn't risk it. So they walked away. But on that road, it says that Jesus appeared. Jesus didn't wait for them to come back to Jerusalem. Jesus didn't wait for them to fully understand the resurrection. Jesus didn't wait for them to have this aha moment where they remember the teachings that He had taught them. He didn't wait for them. He didn't even fuss at them. Notice the conversation that Jesus had when He showed up. Jesus didn't belittle them. Jesus didn't chastise them. He just simply said, "What you talking about? Tell me your hurts. Tell me your disappointment. Tell me what happened." And they began to describe Him and said, "Man, are you the only one that's been in Jerusalem and didn't know all this stuff? How can you not know what happened? Everybody's talking about Jesus and the one who did all the miracles, the one who raised Lazarus from the dead not too far from here, the one who healed the sick, who caused the blind to see, the one who cast out demons, the one who calmed the sea, the one who walked on the water, the one who did all these amazing things. You haven't heard about Jesus?" We thought He was the Messiah, but He must have been just a prophet. Now He's dead. It says they stopped. They were sad. Hopeless. And Jesus says, "Don't you remember what it says in Scripture?" And He started with Moses. And he walked all through Scripture, the prophets and the Psalms. He told everything that God said about the Messiah. And everything pointed to the fact that the Messiah was supposed to be betrayed. The Messiah was supposed to be killed. The Messiah was supposed to be a suffering servant. The Messiah was supposed to bear the sins of the people. That the Messiah was supposed to die and be raised on the third day. He walked through all of it and showed them what God's Word said about the Messiah and how their understanding of the Messiah didn't match up with what Scripture says. But yet even Scripture wasn't enough. See, sometimes in our own hearts, in our own lives, God's pursuing us. God meets us right where we are. Maybe it's a fellow believer who comes to us and tries to encourage us through Scripture, but we just don't want to hear it. Our heart's too big. I can't risk it yet. And he explained everything. But then he started to continue on. As they got to Emmaus, the guys stopped and he walked on. And they had to ask him, stay with us a while. Stay with us a while. See, Jesus doesn't force himself on anybody. He'll meet you where you are. He'll meet you in the middle of your hurts and disappointment. He will meet you in the middle of your broken dreams and your shattered dreams. And he'll meet you in the midst of your walking away. And he will walk along beside you. He will encourage you. He will talk to you. He will remind you of the things you already know that you believed before, but yet somehow your hurt has caused you to just say, I can't trust it anymore. I can't trust God. I can't trust this. I can't trust the church. I can't trust. And yet God still continues, but yet he's not going to force you to believe. They invited Jesus. He said, look, sir, won't you stay with us a while longer? I think you're here today because you want to believe, but you're not ready to give up yet. You're not ready to get back all in. So they told him, said, Jesus, they didn't call him Jesus because they didn't know who he was. He said, just stay with us a while longer. Let's continue this conversation. I really do want to believe what you're saying, but I'm struggling right now. So Jesus stayed with them, and they stopped at mealtime. They prepared a meal, and he began to break the bread, and he blessed it, just like he did the night at the Last Supper, just like he did when he fed the 5,000. They saw God move. They experienced Jesus again. See, sometimes Scripture is not enough. You know Scripture, you can repeat Scripture, and there's just times where you're struggling with putting your trust in the Scripture, but Jesus will reveal himself to you in some way, in some fashion, if you will just listen. He revealed himself to them, and their eyes were opened. Before, their sorrow and the brokenness prevented them from seeing. Their sorrow and the brokenness prevented them from believing. But when Jesus sat down with them, when Jesus began to eat with them, when Jesus began to do what Jesus did, it overcame their doubt and their hurt and their brokenness. They see Jesus for who he is. Says immediately Jesus left. Now, notice Jesus didn't tell them to do anything. He just wanted them to know the truth that he's alive. Your hope is restored. The truth is revealed. And then what did they do? They got up. They turned around. They went back. Jesus didn't tell them to go back. Jesus didn't tell them they had to do anything. They just simply, because they understood Jesus is alive, that Jesus really is the Messiah, it caused them to get up from where they were in this nowhere town to no-name men, got up, and they turned around and about face and went back to Jesus. Went back to their brothers and sisters. They went back to the disciples. They went back to that place where the hurt and the danger. They went back. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of repentance. These two guys were headed in one direction in disappointment and let down in hopelessness. They met Jesus because God came to them where they were in the middle of their hurt, in the middle of their struggle. And when they met Jesus and realized He really is alive, He really is who He said He was, He really is who we believed He is, then they got up and they turned. They did an about face and went in the opposite direction. Instead of running from Jesus, they ran to Him. Folks, that's the gospel. Jesus meets us where we are. He meets us with Scripture. He meets us with experience. He meets us in the middle of our hurts and our brokenness. He meets us in the middle of our hopelessness. He meets us in the middle of our running. And if we will just simply stop and spend time with Him, when He begins to call our name, when that tugging at our heart happens, rather than pushing it away and say, I can't believe, I don't want to, it's too risky, I don't want this anymore. If we will just stop and let Him speak into our lives and spend some time with Him and reveal the truth, it will cause us to turn and repent and come to Him. Notice they came back to these broken and hopeless people that they left. They came back to this fellowship of believers who were hurting, these fellowship of believers who had all but a few had abandoned Jesus. These few who were struggling with the same struggle they were struggling with, the same doubts they were struggling with, the same disappointments they were struggling with, the same hurts that they were struggling with. They came back to the place of broken people to remind them that the Savior is real. He's alive. And see, that's what we've got to remind ourselves and remind each other, that we are a household of broken people who have the same struggles, the same hurts, the same disappointments, suffering through the same sin and struggling to try and live out the truth of God and the presence of God in our lives, but we fail miserably. But it's so important that we come back together when we experience God in our waywardness, we experience God in our sin, and we repent. It's important that we come back and share the power of God to change lives, that we've met the Savior anew, and to encourage one another that He's real and we can continue to hope, we can continue to fight, we can continue to walk with Him, we can continue to trust because He will be faithful. That's why the church is so important. It's a place where we encourage one another. Yeah, we're broken. Yeah, people may have hurt you in the past. The church may have let you down. God may have disappointed you at some point because He didn't act like you thought He should act. But now you see that Jesus is the true Messiah, that He is who He says He is. He is our only hope. He is faithful. And even though it don't work out and turn out like we thought, it's going to be what God wants, and that's so much more than we could ever imagine. And we need to come back together. And we need to receive those who have been away and hear their story of God meeting them on their waywardness. Hear the story of God's grace and the gospel that Jesus has been pursuing them after even a lifetime of running. The disciples embraced them and listened to what they had to say. They may not have believed everything. They still were struggling with their own doubts. They were still struggling with their own sense of hopelessness. And can I really believe that Jesus is who He says He is? But they were there to encourage and to tell and to demonstrate God is faithful. Jesus is real. And they listened. They were encouraged. And Jesus showed up. I want to encourage you today. You matter to the Lord. Remember these guys, the ones who experienced the resurrection first were the women. They came back and told the disciples. A couple of the disciples ran to the tomb and they saw that he wasn't there and they still were struggling whether to believe. And these two no-name disciples were gone and they were walking away, but Jesus met them where they are. Well, they weren't part of the 12. They weren't part of the inner circle, but they were loved by God, and he pursued them out into the middle of nowhere so that they could see and they could trust and they could believe, and they ran back so that they could tell. They were growing together in their encouragement. Jesus, even though you think you're just nobody, maybe you don't feel very important, maybe you don't feel like you matter, but I want you to hear the truth of two things. You matter to God, and you matter in His church. You matter. God wants you to experience His grace and His mercy. God wants you to experience His power. God wants you to experience intimacy with Him. And then He wants you to be a part of His church to encourage and share and to build up, to let others know, to demonstrate, to tell what God has done in your life so that they too, we too, can be encouraged and strengthened. And our doubts and our struggles can be transformed. You matter. Maybe today is the first time you've heard that you matter. Jesus has been pursuing you. You know Scripture, you can quote it like nobody's business. But it seems empty, lacks power. Maybe today is the day you meet Jesus and He tells you, you matter. And I love you. And the same power that raised me from the dead is available to you. Transform your heart, to change your direction eternally and just for this life. Run back to Him. Stop running away. Come back to fellowship rather than being out there on your own. Be an encouragement to the church and then be encouraged by the church. It begins with trusting, surrendering your heart and your life to Him. They had to leave their doubts and their fears and go back to the place where they thought was dangerous, the potential of dying. They were willing to die so that they could know and share what Jesus had done. It begins with surrendering your heart and your life to Him. It doesn't mean you know everything about Him perfectly. It doesn't mean you're not going to mess up. It just means I trust you. And I'm going to pursue you like you're pursuing me. Maybe you're here today and you've been saved. You know you're saved, but you also know you've been running. There was a time in my life I had to hear and meet with Jesus. I knew Scripture. I'd been going to church, but I'd been running. God met me on my road to Emmaus. And when I met Him, I ran back to the calling He placed on my life. I ran back to the fellowship of the church, not just going to church, but the fellowship, the community of the church. Maybe that's where you are today. You know Scripture. You know you're saved, but you've been running. You've been hurt too bad. Today Jesus is calling you back. Come back. For whatever time you have left on this earth, come back. Be a witness. Be an encouragement. Tell what I've done and what I can do. and let's see what God does. Church, we need to have open arms to those who are running. We need to be a place where they can come and feel welcome and know that we're so thankful that they're back, and we listen to their story. We listen to what God is doing. We listen, and we are encouraged by them, and we encourage them. Broken people, loving on other broken people. Redeemed, being part of redemption. That's who we are. Let's make sure that we are being the church. Would you stand?